following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Geico presents Strange Savings Stories. Ken Marcus was making a pastrami sandwich when he noticed an odd pattern on a slice of pumpernickel bread, one that spelled out Geico. Ken found himself visiting Geico.com, saving hundreds of dollars on car insurance with great discounts. Later, Ken felt conflicted whether or not he should eat the slice of bread that saved him so much money. But he was so hungry.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
What is focus? It's the fusion of clarity and alertness. It's when you're in the zone, on top of your game. It's the confidence that comes with saying, I can and I will. It's when you feel like you can do anything, accomplish everything. Because with focus, nothing seems out of reach. So reach for a 5-hour energy and get the feeling of focus you need to get things done. For details and disclaimers, visit 5hourenergy.com.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzoretska, you know, though, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No. I don't think that's just, it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one.
Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Glad to have you along with us for what should be an outstanding show today. We are covering everything from basketball to wrestling to football and everything in between. Coming up in just a moment, we're going to talk with Stephen Bardo of the Big Ten Network. He was at the Penn State-Indiana Thriller last night. We'll talk with him about that. He's a former Illinois Fighting Illini. We'll get his reaction on what's going on with his alma mater. And we'll also talk about the Flying Illini, a book he's got that is out on the market. We'll also talk a little bit of the Heartland Hoops Classic and high school football schedules that were released yesterday with Stu Pospisil, prep sports editor of the Omaha World Herald. We'll talk high school wrestling with districts coming up this week. Both Ross Halford of HuskerMat.com and Tyler Herman of the four-time defending state champions from Amherst will join us towards the end of the show. And at the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with Alex Baritska of Cozad, state champion, going to the Shrine Bowl, playing for the Huskers. We'll talk about his big couple of weeks that have been going on here, and that's all coming up on the Doug and Daddy Show, and we'll give you a chance to win tickets to the Heartland Hoops Classic. So that's coming up all on today's Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio. But let's just get right into it, as we are pleased to welcome in, after watching another exciting game last night, is Stephen Bardo from the Big Ten Network. Stephen, thanks for joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda here. How are you?
I'm doing well, Doug. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to chat with you. What about that ball game last night? Are we starting to see 10-point leads, 12-point leads not being safe no matter where you're at anymore?
It seems that way in the Big Ten. I mean, I was telling my play-by-play partner, Eric Collins, that the Big Ten needs a new slogan where anything can happen on any given day. I mean, it's been one of the most bizarre years that I can ever remember in the conference. And, you know, Indiana has beaten the best of the league in Bloomington, but they've also lost to Northwestern and now Penn State at home. And they've beaten Wisconsin and Michigan at home. So this is a young team that's learning on the fly. And, you know, tip your hat to Penn State because they never gave up in that game.
A lot of people were getting ready to watch Nebraska-Illinois last night, so even if they weren't necessarily interested in that game, they saw the end of that game. Just give me, some people thought there should have been a foul called. Some people were just wondering how Indiana let the lead get away. Take me through the last couple, 3 minutes in your eyes.
Well, Indiana was up 11 points with about 3 minutes left, and it seemed like they were pretty much in control. I made a comment on the air that all they have to do now is hit their free throws and take care of the basketball. Well, they did neither. And they kept giving Penn State opportunities when they couldn't inbound the basketball. There were numerous 10-second violations, and Indiana ended up with 20 turnovers. And so each time Penn State would come down and they'd hit a shot, they'd get a little bit more excited. They'd put their press on. They'd come up with a turnover. Brandon Taylor hits a three. Then he hits a floater. And now it's a two-point game. And then Indiana has Noah Vonleh take the ball out in that situation, which is a head-scratcher because you don't want your bigs making those type of decisions in those in that critical juncture of the game. And Penn State took advantage of every situation down the stretch, even overcoming some horrible calls, in my opinion, to snatch the victory, which looked pretty certain for the Hoosiers.
Stephen Bardo joins us here from the Big Ten Network, former member of the Illinois Fighting Illini on the Doug and Daddy Show. And, man, I'll tell you what, just looking at these conference standings, who would believe that you've got teams like Illinois, Purdue, Indiana at the bottom of the conference, and teams like Nebraska and Northwestern improving, although Northwestern, after that great start, has run into a few roadblocks here. What about the Big Ten as it stands here heading into the home stretch of the conference season?
Well, I get a chance to talk to all the coaches in the conference, and one of the consistent themes in the preseason, even before the season started, was I specifically remember John Gross of Illinois and Fran McCaffrey of Iowa saying that the league was going to be better top to bottom, that the teams that were in the bottom of the conference have gotten, they will get a lot better, and that the parity of the conference will be greater than we've ever seen. And so sometimes you think, oh, okay, these coaches are just being nice to one another. And no, they knew exactly what they were talking about. Taran Pettaway and Walter Pitchford give Nebraska an element that they haven't experienced in quite a while. You're talking about Pettaway, in my mind, is not getting enough credit. We keep hearing about Devin Marble and Nick Stauskas and Gary Harris, but in my mind, Taran Pettaway is right there with those guys in terms of production, in terms of what he means to his team. Walter Pitchford is a tremendous athlete that is a nightmare matchup based on his size and his ability to shoot the three. Even with Devereaux Biggs being let go from the team, and he was an outstanding scorer off the bench, this Nebraska team has a cohesiveness that I haven't seen from the Huskers in quite a while. And Tim Miles, he's starting to do the same thing in Nebraska that he did at, in South Dakota, North Dakota State, I believe, and Colorado State. So, you know, Nebraska, Penn State, having won now at Indiana and Ohio State, you mentioned Northwestern, has been much improved over the Big Ten slate. It's just that the teams that have notoriously been in the bottom of the conference have gotten better, and they have veteran ball players.
Stephen, once all the dust clears, though, everybody was trying to find, you know, 2 weeks ago, man, Iowa, they can win this whole thing. They could be a surprise winner of the Big Ten Conference. Ohio State was sliding. Wisconsin was sliding. When the dust clears and Michigan State gets healthy, it's the Spartans again, isn't it?
Well, you know what? I it's funny because a lot of my colleagues say that, and I caution people because, you know, you're talking if. And there's a reason the Spartans continue to be injured. I mean, and part of the reason that you have a championship-level team is that you can manage your team in a way that keeps everybody healthy down the stretch. Michigan State has not been able to do that. So, you know, we keep saying, well, when they get healthy, when they get healthy. We have to remember now, Michigan is not totally healthy either. They're missing an All-American, Mitch McGarry, but they haven't missed a beat. And so I'm one of the few that now say, I'm not sure if I would give Michigan State the nod. I think Michigan is a better team, not only because they've been able to stay a little bit more healthy than Michigan State, but they've been much more consistent in their play. And I think their schedule favors them down the stretch is not as difficult as Michigan State's. And so I'm a little bit in a different mindset that the best team right now in the Big Ten, because I can't deal with whether Michigan State gets healthy or not because they haven't been all season. The best team right now is Michigan.
Stephen Bardot, Big Ten Network, now an author. We'll talk about his book here in just a second. But Nebraska is playing so well at home, obviously, as is most of the Big Ten. It's just almost impossible to win on the road. But they start talking postseason this week. And, of course, for Nebraska, that's talking NIT, but that's a start right now. And Illinois, I said yesterday on the show, I said this is just such a trap game. Illinois wants to and needs to get a win. And they played well a lot of this basketball game, but kind of a key stretch around the midway, early portion of that second half, it got away from them. Illinois was a top 25 team earlier this year. What's the problem right now with the Illini?
Well, I think the Illini were overinflated in the pre-conference slate. I think that coming out of the Big Ten, most teams that, you know, have had traditional success, like Illinois, like Purdue, like Indiana, they get a little bit of, they get a little bit of a break based on their history of being good programs. And so I think the top 25 ranking was a little premature for this Illini team because, to me, they're not as talented as the majority of the teams in the Big Ten. That's pretty much it. They don't really have, you know, Tracy Abrams is a warrior. He will compete against anybody, but I wouldn't call him an upper level point guard in the Big Ten. Illinois doesn't really have a presence in the post area. Nana Egwu is a tall player, but he doesn't necessarily do a lot of his damage in the post. He's more of a face up guy. So when you have a team in Illinois that depends on 3-point shooting and offensive rebounding like they did in the pre-conference slate, well, when you get into conference play and teams know your style and they cut off the offensive rebounds and you shoot as poorly as Illinois did in the month of January, then if you don't have a lot of playmakers, guys that can go get you buckets, you're going to struggle, and that's what we've seen from the Illini.
Well, let's talk about the book. What made you want to be an author and write The Flying Illini?
Well, this is actually my second book. I wrote a book years ago for high school for teenage students about success and what it means. So I'm a guy that likes entrepreneurial projects. But this team, I go all over the country and around the world, and I've been stopped in Spain and Japan and almost everywhere in the United States. That team that I played on in 1989, the Flying Illini, still resonates with college basketball fans. It was one of the most memorable teams to ever don the floor. And there was no historical account of it. It was almost like the team was urban legends, but no one took the time to really sit down and write something about the team or to document how impressive the team really was and our unique style of play. So I interviewed all the coaches and players and, you know, tried the best I could to put together a chronological account from, you know, our recruiting class and our freshman year all the way through the final 4 years. And, you know, people that have read the book have really enjoyed it. It's been a little controversial because there were some things said in there that ruffled feathers because I'm the type of guy that, you know, if I'm going to write a book like that, I want to give people an honest look at what was really going on. And some people took took exception to some of the things I said, but I don't regret anything I said. I didn't fabricate anything, and I'm very proud of the book.
Since you brought it up, Stephen, what has cost maybe you the most flack, or what has been the one part of the book that has been a little controversial?
Well, there were really two things. One, first was Ken Norman, who was a former Illinois player that went on to play in the NBA, and he was my teammate in my freshman year. And I talked about there was a rumor about him that he changed his last name from Ken Collier to Ken Norman because he got in a fight and he really hurt somebody and he was trying to avoid prosecution. I put that in the book. But see, what happens is when you put in a book something like that, people don't see the word rumor in front of what I wrote. They just took what I wrote verbatim and kind of ran with that. And then also some of the things I said about Coach Henson, me not getting along with him, some of the struggles that we had in personality conflicts, some of his decisions that I questioned, you know, really riled a lot of Illini fans. And so, you know, it was interesting to see the response that I got from that. But the people that have actually read the book instead of maybe reading some of the newspaper excerpts from some of the beat writers who are friends with Lou Henson, people that have actually read the book really enjoy it. So it's gotten a lot of acclaim, and Dick Vitale, Jay Billis, Mike Krzyzewski, Roy Williams, various coaches in the Big 12, Lon Kruger, Bruce Weber, have given me testimonials. Dick Vitale wrote the foreword for the book. And, you know, I think it's a testament to the way that people remember that team. And it's not, it wasn't, I have relationships with these people, but they gave me a testimonial because of the way that that team made them feel and how good we were that year. So it's a great read for any college basketball fan.
It's about the 1989 season. They made it to the Final Four. That was the year that Michigan eventually beat Seton Hall in the great NCAA championship game, and they just clipped you guys in that national semifinal. And I guess one of the cool things that I noticed here is that 89 team was all made up of kids from the state of Illinois.
Yeah, it was a really unique team because, as you mentioned, everyone was from the state of Illinois. We were all between the sizes of 6'5 and 6'8, we would run. I believe we scored over 112 times. We have the record for most dunks of a Big Ten team, I believe, to this day. We were an exciting bunch, but we took a great amount of pride in representing the state. And 25 years ago, kids, they didn't go cross country to school as much. There was a regional pride. Especially in the Big Ten, because the Big Ten then was by far and away the best conference in the country. Just in my junior and senior years alone, the Big Ten had 17 first and second round draft picks. I was one of those. And so it was a tremendously competitive conference, and we were very, very proud to represent the state.
Stephen, we'll let you out of here with this, and hopefully we can talk again when we get to the postseason a little bit more about what's going on in Big Ten basketball. But Michigan's the team that ended that season, and earlier in our talk, you mentioned that you really liked Michigan's chances to win the conference this year. So I'm guessing that your hatred of Michigan, if that's the word, is not too deeply rooted.
Well, no, I never really hated Michigan. That's more of our fan base that tends to not like Michigan. But my girlfriend and her family are Michigan. Her brother went to Michigan, so I'm kind of inundated with it. But I see another side of how good academically it is and how strong their sports programs are. And the guys on that team I remain really good friends with. So there was never any hatred for Michigan. It was a tough loss, but they deserved it, and you know, I tip my hats to them.
All right, Stephen, hey, we'll let you get back to work. We enjoyed watching the game last night and your coverage, and hopefully we can do it again. We'll get the folks out to get a look at the book, The Flying Illini. Enjoy the rest of the season.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me. I really appreciate it.
You bet. Take care. Here on the Doug and Daddy Show, Stephen Bardo, former Fighting Illini, and of course, played in the NBA, wrote the book, The Flying Illini. You can find that at all your local outlets, whether it be your bookstores or online at some of the national chains. And pleased to have him with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show for that Lou Henson year back in 1989. Stu Pospisil's coming up next, but as we go into break, let's give away a pair of tickets to the Heartland Hoops Classic this Saturday. It's good for all 8 games starting at 9 a.m. with the premier matchup, Omaha Central Denver East at 9:15 in the evening. If you've not won this week, here's your chance. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. Here's the trivia question. The 1989 Final Four, we just told you about it. Illinois lost to Michigan in one national semifinal. Michigan beat Seton Hall in the national championship. Which ACC team did Seton Hall beat in the 1989 National Semifinals? It was 95-78. The 1989 National Semifinals, which ACC team did Seton Hall beat? The first correct caller gets the Heartland Hoops Classic tickets. Johnson Law.
There's a saying that the best time to plant a tree is yesterday. Hey, Central Nebraska, this is Greg Sharp. You can't turn back the clock, so don't wait. Go green with Johnson Lawn and Landscape. Johnson's team of designers will meet your needs and exceed your expectations, whether residential or commercial, with a vast array of landscaping options. Stay ahead of the clock. Call Johnson Lawn and Landscape now or on the web at johnsonlandscape.net.
Johnson Lawn and Landscape.
Valentine's Day's coming fast. Send a delicious treat to your sweetheart. Giant freshly dipped strawberries from Shari's Berry starting at $19.99. Just use the code SCORE. These sweet berries are dipped in milk white and dark chocolatey topping and covered with chocolate chips, crushed almonds, and a decorative swizzle. Plus, radio listeners can double the berries for just $10 more. You've got to see these enormous berries for yourself. Go to berries.com. Click on the microphone in the top right corner and type in my password, SCORE. Don't wait. Order now.
You know the secret to riding down a mountain at 80 miles an hour?
Well, you got me.
It's holding onto your luge.
Okay, my turn. You know the secret to booking a room for a successful business trip?
It's...
Instant Hold. The mobile feature from La Quinta Inns and Suites that lets you hold a room instantly on your smartphone with just your phone number.
Hey, wait a minute. I didn't get to...
Sorry, but time is money, and saving time is the beauty of Instant Hold. Another way La Quinta takes care of you so you can take care of business. Instant Hold your next stay at LQ.com.
Place him up.
Straight away. Three.
Strap it on.
Three to try to win it.
It's pull good. It over. You're going to Jersey's, where the high-def big screens put you there, along with great food, cold drinks, great fans. It's simple. Jersey's attracts real sports fans, the kind like you, who wear the team colors on their back, their loyalty on their sleeves, bleed their team's colors. Jersey's Sports Bar, Vista Point, North Kearney. It's like a courtside ticket.
For the win. Up. Got it. The buzzer.
We'll start with sunshine early today, then expect increasing cloud cover this afternoon with a mild high near 48 degrees, and expect partly to mostly cloudy skies tonight with a low of 26. I'm meteorologist Sam Dynasty. Right now it's 43.
Back on the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac. Hey, it's truck month at your Midway Chrysler dealer. Stop in and see the very latest deals for 2014, getting you ready for the upcoming. It moves. I can hardly ever keep up with the 2014, 2015 when they put out the new models. But right now, as you have busted through the snow and ice, maybe it's time for that new truck. And Chrysler will get it done for you. Don't forget they are there for you with their Ram dealers as well. Some great deals going on at Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. You can find out more and check out the entire inventory of new or pre-owned trucks, cars, SUVs, vans, whatever it is you need. And there's over 500 to choose from with their low hassle-free prices at thinkmidway.com, the all-new thinkmidway.com. You can like them on Facebook. You can see some weekly deals that if you're getting some new tires or an oil change or just need some work done by their professional maintenance crew, they'll get that done for you as well. South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, Midway, it's a better way. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac in Kearney. Congratulations to Dirk of Hazard. He is the winner of our Heartland Hoops Classic tickets. He knew that Duke was the team that lost to Seton Hall in the 89 National Semifinals. Thanks to Stephen Bardot of Illinois for joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And now let's get back to a little bit more of a local scene. Prep sports editor of the Omaha World Herald, Stu Pospisil, with us this morning. Stu, good morning.
Morning, guys.
Great to catch up with you. We've got two or three topics that we want to touch on, so I don't want to forget. We got the Shrine Bowl. We got the high school football schedules. We've got the last month of the season now here of basketball. But you spoke with me earlier today, and a little bit of a sad note, and it'll bring back some memories here for some Kearney High folks. One of the World Herald Athletes of the Year has passed on.
Yes, 1967 World Herald Athlete of the Year, Tom Heller, fine Kearney Bearcat, passed away this week. Services, I think, are underway right now in Castle Rock, Colorado. One of his classmates alerted me this morning if we had a obit in the award on Tom's passing. So he had played a couple years in Nebraska football and then left school on his own accord, went out and joined the Navy, served a stint there, and then went back into education and was a teacher counselor and a very helpful, successful assistant basketball coach at some schools in the Denver area.
Well, you take a look at athletes that we remember when we were growing up, like a Tom Heller, and you kind of look at some of the athletes that are in this day and age of specialization. It's kind of rare to see a guy do or a gal do as many things as they did even just 8-10 years ago, not 30, 40 years ago, but there are a few of them out there, and we're going to talk with Alex Baritska here in just a little bit. He's one of the Shrine Bowl members, but my first question, Stu, is the lack of the Huskers, which used to be almost an automatic. If you're going to play football at Nebraska, whether you're a walk-on or whether you're a scholarship, you're going to be on the Shrine Bowl. And out of the 16 walk-ons and the three scholarships, only four of those 19 guys are going to be playing.
Evidently, the cat in the cage hasn't calmed down the head coach.
You follow
so,
fake Bo Pelini.
The Nebraska staff doesn't want them to play, and I, you know, it's their prerogative. I don't agree with it. You can get hurt at any time, any place. This is why they moved the Shrine game from July to June, was to get these kids, and you know, I just don't get me started.
Well, my comment was, I understand what they're saying about the scholarship kids. Again, I don't agree with it, but none of these walk-ons are playing next year, so if they get hurt, they've got 2 years to recover from that. I mean,
exactly. And, you know, I mean, why not promote what you've got coming in? You know, I mean, it's a statewide game, and, you know, not having the Nebraska walk-ons dilutes it down, and so does only having two from a particular school, any one school. I don't like that rule either, and that's the Shrine Bowl rule.
What do you think about the kids that are playing? Obviously, Harrison Phillips is going to be there. Here's a kid that's trying to get through his wrestling season, and he's going to be the big name. But there are some pretty quality kids, as there always are, playing in the Shrine Bowl.
There are. You know, I think it was a little interesting that they didn't take the all-time leading passer in Class A, Alex Turrell from Papio. I don't know if that was his choice or the coach's choice, but found that you know, really interesting. And you know, I don't sit in on the meetings. They even want me sometimes to make input on coaches, and that's their game. So you know what they do. You know, we just go cover it. And actually, usually now that it's in June, I have our City Publix golf tourney to cover, so I get one of our stringers, usually Terry Douglas, to cover it for us. So,
well, we love Terry, but we miss you, Stu.
Well, I appreciate that. But, there's only one who can run a golf tourney back here at the paper. So,
let's talk a little bit about the football schedules. The main reason we wanted to chat a couple of minutes today was the 2014-2015 schedules are out. Obviously, for the fans that needed their memory jog, Class C now goes to a 9-game schedule. So, 4 away, 5 home, and then vice versa. We talked off the air, and I mentioned it yesterday when these things came out, and you mentioned it in your article today. In fact, you even pointed out, Gibbon, there are some teams that have to travel, and there's just really nothing that the state is going to be able to do about that. If you're in the western part of the state and you're not a Class D school, if you're B or Class C, there just aren't that many west of our listening area, and you're going to have to travel. Either they come here or teams from our area go there.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fact of life right now, Doug, that, you know, especially playing that ninth game, man, that meant another game to have to tap the Eastern Moore schools. You know, in fact, in C1, the whole Western District is only getting 8 games because they can't find people to fill the bye week. You know, we have a 5-team district. You're going to have somebody sitting out each week during the district play, and there's nobody for them to play right now. You know, maybe something opens up in South Dakota or Wyoming or maybe Northeast Colorado, but, you know, when states have gone to inclusive scheduling, such as Wyoming, their larger schools are like Nebraska's Class A, it's a locked in, you don't take anybody outside your state or outside your class. That cuts down on the opportunities for the panhandle schools to look, you know, for closer non-district opponents. And, you know, so now you've got, you know, in Class B, you've got GI Northwest that has to play the entire panhandle district as non-district games. They have no choice. They, you know, it's the only possible matchups. You know, unless you keep, you know, hops, you know, over them and keep going further east. And maybe that needs to be looked at in the future, that maybe you have to share the travel. I thought of that this morning. Why, you know, why shouldn't maybe a Schuyler or York, a Seward, you know, take one of those panhandle games.
I've said this on the show before, and we're talking with Stu Pospisil of the Omaha World Herald. That's what I like about playoff time. So I think it's kind of neat that each school does make one trip. Now, that's our part of the state. When you're talking Omaha and Lincoln, I mean, a long trip is when they actually have to get on a bus and go out of town. So it's a different situation. But what are some of the other things that maybe stood out with the schedules that you noticed right off?
Well, you know, I think we talked yesterday, Kennesaw goes all the way from Lincoln out to Overton, and you know, I thought it was a matter of, okay, again, in districts, when you have odd numbers of teams in districts, you're going to have somebody play a non-district game during their bye week, so to speak, within the district to fill the schedule. So, you know, that's probably how that matched up. In Class A, or in Class B, Omaha Benson drops to that class for the first time in the playoff era. They're going to travel, and their coach, Tony Kobza, who was a standout quarterback at Aquinas in the mid-90s, he's liking it. They start the season at Schuyler, then they have the game at Lincoln Pius the following week. He says, we need to travel.
What are some of, I mean, every once in a while we pick out a killer schedule. I think Kennesaw was probably the one that stood out in our mind from the listening area, no matter what class it is. It's going to be really cool that Kearney and Grand Island play on opening night. I think that's something that can keep your coaches motivating the kids every practice during the off season. From other venues, whether it's Metro, Lincoln, Class B, what else? Is there somebody that got a schedule that they just want to burn?
You know, I haven't been able to sit down and look at all 268 of them.
Ah, come on. You know, come on.
I know.
You don't know who Paxton plays next week?
But, okay, here. I'm just looking at the first one in Class C1. Arlington starts with Norfolk Catholic and Pierce for their first two non-conference games. I mean, geez. The perennial powers. You know, Norfolk Catholic has Wahoo and Wahoo Newman as non-district games. I think that's very good. I mean, they've got a solid schedule. Kearney Catholic closer. You know, I think that's a representative schedule. If you're saying in the middle of the state, you're going to have to go a little east, go a little west. Lakeview in week three won't be as strong as they were this year with a senior loaded team with Mark Jarecki and Jack Shadley at quarterback. Game with Cozad in week four, defending state champion. I haven't heard from anybody that just says, oh my God, you know, these schedules are just, you know, unfair for us. Rocky Almond over at Northwest was commenting that, you know, how many panhandle schools the Vikings have to play, but it's no different than what they've had the past 2 years.
That's just so he can go back out and get some home cooking. I don't care what he says. Hey, let's get to, before we get out of time here, which we almost are, Heartland Hoops Classic this Saturday. What are you looking forward to there?
You know, the marquee matchup is Denver East with Creighton recruit Ronnie Harrell and a Colorado recruit who's averaging, he's about 23 a game. He had a big stretch of like four games of 35 or more. They're playing Omaha Central. Eagles are reeling a little bit after dropping a home game to Westside and a road game at Benson last week. They fall to fourth in the rankings, but still plenty dangerous. I'm sure they'll get things figured out. And the Mace, like last year, happened at this tourney or this showcase. Some good individual or lower class games in there. I'll be interested to see how Elkhorn South plays against Grand Island. Islanders gave Benson a good game on the Islanders' home court, taking them to overtime. What can Elkhorn South do? And, you know, how they match up. I've got them sixth overall in the all-class rankings, and they have two Class A games coming up, the second one against Omaha Northwest next week. So it will tell me more about whether that number six ranking is valid or not.
We've got to, and Dominique Collier is the kid that folks are going to want to watch from Denver East. We had Coach Carey on yesterday. Man, when he starts comparing him to Chauncey Billups, you know there's some talent there. Stu, we'll let you out of here with this. I know you're already looking ahead to maybe who the Super State basketball team will be. We've had such a mix-up.
All Nebraska.
All Nebraska.
Super State's the other people down the road.
Never heard of them. The All Nebraska team from the World Herald. Love you, Riley. Is it going to be Class A this year, or are there some non-Class A kids that have a chance?
Well, I think it's not going to be an all-Class A bunch this year, I don't think. I think you've got a wide range of potential players, if not certainly top five, but top 15. You know, Ryerson's having a good season again for Gibbon. He's had some monster games lately. You've got Mike Hahn at Fremont. You've got Mitch Hahn at Fremont, Mike Dom at Kimball. I get the two first names confused sometimes there. But those are the state's two Division I recruits right now. Hahn's going to Holy Cross and Dom to South Dakota State. You know, state attorney's going to tell me a lot.
All right, buddy. Well, we'll let you get back to work. We appreciate you giving us some time on the Doug and Daddy Show, and we'll see you Saturday.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Stu. Stu Pospisil will join us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We're going to have Alex Baritzka of Cozad momentarily to talk a little bit more about his decision to go to the Huskers and the Shrine game and all of that. But covered a lot there. Heartland Hoops, Shrine Bowl, high school football schedules with Stu. And don't forget to vote on our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Yesterday, we asked you what the best rivalry in sports was, and 45% of you jumped on the Red Sox-Yankees. And again, because they play so many times, there's no doubt that that is must-watch TV, and ESPN shows every single one of those games. 27% of you said Michigan-Ohio State. 18% said Duke, North Carolina. Then we had a couple of other votes just off for some other things that were emailed in. I said Army-Navy for me. Let's go today with what do you make of the proposed college football rule change that would prohibit snapping the ball until 10 seconds run off the play clock? They're going through rule changes. You know how it is. They're trying to run their defense on, then you get set, or the offense does this, so your defense wants to match up. Now they're trying to make it a rule that 10 seconds must run off the play clock before they can snap the ball. Isn't that going to be kind of hard to police? I mean, just make it a 30-second clock. The referee just stands over the ball until it's time. I mean, how hard will it be? Vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com, ESPNSuperstation.com. Well, a lot of folks got to follow the ride that the Cozad Haymakers made this past season. It has been quite a couple of three, 4 months here for Alex Baritzka and his teammates. Not only has he won a state championship, not only has he been named the Shrine Bowl, but he is one of the area preferred walk-ons for the Nebraska football team, and he's gracious enough to give us a few minutes here on ESPN Radio's Doug and Daddy Show. Alex, thanks so much for the time. Hey, congratulations on the honors that have been bestowed upon you, and which have all been earned by your hard play. Congrats.
Thank you. It means a lot.
You got to go to the Shrine Bowl press conference this week, and they're really kind of upping that. It's a kind of a new deal. Last year they had the coaches and a couple of players. This year there was about 20 guys there. What was it like, and what did you learn from some of the guys that maybe you've never even seen play before?
Well, I mean, it was quite a learning experience, that's for sure. I mean, you get to talk to guys from other towns and other teams, and a buddy of mine, Jacob Stahlbaumer, and I both went, and we already knew a couple of guys that were there, but I mean, seeing some guys that are on your team and seeing the guys that you're going to go against was a pretty cool experience.
Talk about when you found out that you made the Shrine team. How did that happen, and what was your reaction?
Actually, my dad showed me the letter when I got to the house one day at lunch, and I don't know, I was pretty excited for it. I mean, it was one of my goals through the summer. I said, well, you know, I laid down a list of goals, and I was like, you know, state championship, that's one of my goals. But, like, in the summer, I'd really like to play for the Shrine Bowl as well. So it's a huge honor for me. I'm glad I got into it.
Alex, before I forget, I know this is a question that's out there, and Stu Pospisil from the World Herald was on just before talking with us here, that each school can only have two players, and that's a heck of an honor that Cozad can have two players that play in the Shrine Bowl. But Jake Paulson is not one of those. Has he elected not to play because he's going to be a trackster, or was he not invited, or can you tell us what happened?
I'm not for sure what happened there. I mean, I'm kind of disappointed that he isn't playing, but I guess that's just how it goes. So,
and tell us a little bit about getting to play with Jake in the Shrine Bowl one more time as teammates.
Oh, it was
Stahlbomber, right? Not Paulson,
excuse
me. Championship
game?
No, I think I misspoke there. I apologize. Two Cozad players, and that's Jacob, not Jake Paulson, but Jacob with him.
Yeah, it'll be tons of fun. You know, we all get along great. So, I mean, I've been playing with Jacob for a long time now, so it'll be tons of fun. Get to see some new faces and play some new guys. So it'll be quite the experience.
Now, take us through the whole Husker process here. When was the first contact and your decision to be a football player in Lincoln?
Well, for me, I mean, I've always had the idea that I was going to go play somewhere. I mean, as a kid, I've always said Nebraska just because that was a huge dream of mine. And, you know, I got hurt my junior year, so it kind of slimmed down. I'm like, well, maybe. I was looking at smaller schools, and I was going, well, that's probably a little more realistic. And then going through this year, and I started talking a little more to Nebraska, and I was like, well, maybe I can still make my dream a reality. So when Nebraska offered me the preferred walk-on, that was pretty hard to give up. So,
we're talking with Alex Baritzka of Cozad, who's going to play for the Huskers and in the Shrine game, a state champion. Were there other places that you were considering or other people that were offering?
Yeah, I was talking to a lot of area teams like Kearney, Fort Hays, Chadron, Wayne, Northwest Missouri State I was in contact with. I was talking to Wyoming for a little bit. So quite a bit of schools. So this is really a tough choice.
What has Nebraska told you? What is their plan for you?
I think they're going to have me play middle linebacker or linebacker, but I'm going to redshirt my freshman year and hopefully just get bigger, faster, and stronger.
Is this a lot of Nebraska people say, okay, walk-ons, maybe they'll see the field sometime when they get to Lincoln. That is not necessarily the case anymore. We see walk-ons that are contributing maybe by the time they're sophomores. What kind of a goal do you have to overcome some of these scholarship players to see some playing time in your career?
Absolutely. I mean, for me, I guess one of my goals was just to impress the coaches. I mean, going in every day with that attitude saying that you're going to get better and try to impress these coaches. I mean, I really liked our linebacker coach, and he was saying how, you know, you're probably not used to not starting on defense because, I mean, I've been starting for defense since my sophomore year. But he said, I mean, you can impress the coaches on special teams as well and try to get on that, and then that's how you get looked at. So that's probably one of my biggest goals right now.
Just another minute here with Alex Baritzka of Cozad. I'll tell you what, this will probably be a question maybe you'll be able to reflect on once you get done with your college and playing days, but Cozad has churned out some great ones in Dishman and Holbein and, of course, our buddy Jared Crick. What's it mean for some of you guys, and including you, Alex, to kind of carry on that tradition and maybe say, hey, I might be the best guy to come out of Cozad?
I definitely have some big shoes to fill, but I guess we'll just find that out when I get down to Lincoln.
And what about the championship? I want to go back to that. Of course, we know Coach Cargill from back in the day. So you guys had the coaching change that started before this season began. When did you know that this team was a little bit special? Because you guys obviously weren't picked number one or two in the preseason.
Well, I mean, going from last year's season, we had a sour taste in our mouth, and we were going into the season with that attitude saying, you know, we need to prove to state wrong because we should have done a lot better than we did the year prior. So we worked hard in the summer, and then two-a-days hit, and we busted our butts there. And, I mean, just throughout the season, we worked hard. So, I mean, it wasn't really too much of a surprise where we ended up.
Is Coach Cargill kind of intense?
Very. That's kind of an understatement.
You guys, go ahead.
We get used to it. I mean, we love the guy, but I mean, he is extremely intense, so.
He is awesome. I've known him since he was running around with his first pair of football cleats. Last question, Alex. Cozad draws Ogallala in the new high school football schedule. That's who they start with to try and defend their state championship. That's a pretty good rivalry game, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd say so for the most part.
All right, buddy. We'll let you get back to class or whatever it is you're doing over there today, and we look forward to seeing you at the Shrine Bowl, and once again, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You bet. Pleasure to speak with Alex Baritzka from Cozad, state champion, Shrine Bowl, Husker, I think, what else can you check off in your high school football career? We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to switch our attention to wrestling. Ross Halford of Husker Mat, Tyler Herman, head coach of Amherst. Stay with us.
This is that sad time of year again when you're unhooking your propane bottle and wheeling that grill into the garage for the winter. I know you'll miss her. This is Jeremy at HK Sports Bar and Grill, and I've got some great news for you. We never put our grill away. Every day is a backyard barbecue for us. We're talking burgers that require both hands, juicy Nebraska ribeyes, baby back ribs, even smoked brisket. So throw that cover over your grill and get down to HK Sports Bar and Grill.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Hi, it's the Herd. Hey, time's running out. If you haven't ordered your Valentine's roses, do it now from 1-800-Flowers.com. I've already done it. Don't wait any longer. Don't settle for less. Wower with 1-800-Flowers.com. Got a wide selection, beautiful roses, ready to be sent to your Valentine. Hey, deliveries can still make it in time, but you gotta hurry, okay? We gotta encourage you. Do it today. They will run out. 1-800-Flowers.com has a special last-minute offer for my listeners. Here's what you do. Order 18 beautiful Valentine's roses for only $29.99. And for just 10 bucks more, get a full two dozen roses plus a vase. You can't find more beautiful roses at that kind of price. You won't. But this offer from 1-800-Flowers.com is only available today and only while supplies last. Go to 1-800-Flowers.com from your desktop or mobile device. Click on the radio mic upper right side. Enter my name, Colin. That's 1-800-Flowers.com. Enter Colin. Or just call him at 1-800-Flowers. And mention my first name.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll start with sunshine early today, then expect increasing cloud cover this afternoon with a mild high near 48 degrees. And expect partly to mostly cloudy skies tonight with a low of 26. I'm meteorologist Sam Danisty. Right now it's 43.
Oh yeah, baby. Without a doubt, it is the greatest moment of the entire year. That's the Parade of Champions, which is a week from Saturday at the CenturyLink Center in Omaha. There are great moments in sports, but the tradition of the Parade of Champions, there is nothing better. And another tradition in sports is the high five. And I think we have been telling you about this a couple times, but we want to remind you that right now we're looking for a high five from you. Our buddy in the radio business from Grand Island, he's been all around the state, started in Nebraska City and elsewhere. Brad Fosberg is dealing with a tough opponent, nothing tougher than cancer, folks. And you may have seen some of the TV folks have done some stories, newspaper articles have been there. Some great things are going on in the month of February to help out our buddy Brad Fosberg. So we're joining forces to give Brad a high five. It's just your $5 contribution combined with other high five contributions from area sports fans that go a long way to help out. So if you can, please give Brad a high five, the actual one, during February if you see him at a participating school or event. And we would love to have your high five donation as accounts are open at your nearest Five Points Bank location, including Kearney, Grand Island, and Hastings. It's a win-win situation as we hope things just get rid of this for Brad and beat this cancer down as we root for our buddy Brad Fosberg. Right now, though, we dump into wrestling here with Ross Halford. He is going to join us and talk a little bit about what's going on with Husker Matt and his favorite time of the year as well, district and state wrestling. Ross, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, I thought with that big lead-in there, where you're talking about the greatest moments in sports, and I thought that was my introduction there. Radio here, you know. I mean, come on, give me a little bit of prompt here.
I'll save that for the rally on Sunday. How about that?
That'll work. Looking forward to it.
There you go. There you go. Let's get right into it here, so we can get a lot of area covered going into the weekend. Your number one storyline I've already seen, and you guys can go to HuskerMatt.com and look at Ross's previews. I see which one of the matches you're looking forward to, but what's the top storyline going into the weekend?
Well, obviously, you know, there's two team races in play right now across the state. I think, you know, you can pretty much pencil in Omaha Scud in Class B and certainly Amherst. I know you'll talk to Coach Herman here in a bit. You know, those two teams are pretty safe bets for next week. But two team races, Class A with Grand Island, of course, and Class C is up for grabs. I think it's a two-team race there with David City and O'Neill. And so, really, you know, how do those two classes there shape up after district? Then I think, you know, look at Grand Island, you know, top competition. Probably Omaha North, Millard South, maybe an outside, you know, champ. But, you know, and then in Class C, I mentioned the two teams. So you've got to get out of the district and you've got to, you know, bring guys down and perform here, because this is really the first step towards those state team titles next week.
Looking ahead, we've got a chance for multiple four-time state champions. Is there roadblocks for any of these guys?
Yeah, I absolutely think so. You know, I think when we talked about the potential four-time state champions, you know, this year, it's really unprecedented. 2 years ago, we had three four-time state champions crowned, and actually all within, you know, several minutes of each other, which was really a moment that if you were there, you won't ever forget that. But this year, we have an incredible five potential four-time, you know, state champions. And I think, you know, when you look at three of them, Brett Velasquez, Bennington, Javon Perkins, Omaha North, Will Shaney Blair, I think those three are, you know, overwhelming favorites as well. And then you look at the other two, and Colton Adams, you know, the Nebraska signee, he'll potentially have to go through another state champion, which would be Benny Thatcher out of Crete. Who's unbeaten on the year, and so certainly anytime you have a quality wrestler like that, you've got to, you know, bring your A game. And Jacob Sivadi out of Pinder, you know, I think that looks like right now, I noted this in the district capsule that I put together, but his biggest roadblock looks like a freshman out of Nebraska Christian, who he's beaten twice this year, and that would be Jaden Elch out of Nebraska Christian. And he's a quality wrestler, and, you know, he's kept those matches respectable, and again, it'll be a matter of can he, you know, get over that that hill there. And so, yeah, you've got some challenges for a couple of those kids.
Ross Halford, HuskerMatt.com, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. In your district breakdowns, you picked one of our local kids to be in the match that you're most interested of, and that's two-time defending state champion Adam Keating. Why is that?
Well, I saw Adam Keating wrestle at High Plains, and I'm very impressed with him. You know, he's certainly got some skills, and you know, I've talked to enough coaches around the state, though, and you know, the Jacob Hand kid out of Valentine, he's a little bit of an enigma to me, because he does have a number of losses, and some of them make you scratch your head, but then he has some wins that you would say, you know, there might not be another kid in the state that could do what he did in that win. And interesting enough, because of the losses that he has, I believe he's 28-6 on the year, I am rated second. He would actually wrestle Adam Keating Saturday morning in the semifinals of the C4 District out at Hershey. So that would not be a championship match. That would actually be a semifinal match. But I think that he's clearly the number two kid out of that weight. And there's a very good chance that those two would meet again, but he is a big, big kid, and I think that, you know, that's something that that Adam Keating will see up close. That he's very strong, and I think.
two districts in Hastings this year, the A4 hosted by Hastings High, who was in the top 10 of the rankings, whether it was yours at Husker Mat or the Coaches Association, and now they have kind of lost some of that steam heading into the postseason. And then you've got an unusual situation in the B3 at Adams Central, where a fairly new program could shock the world here, maybe.
Well, I think, you know, we can see Columbus SCOTUS on the upswing here, you know, second year of their program. And I'm not saying that they're going to, you know, replicate what Omaha Scuts has done, but you can kind of see some parallels between where Scuts started off back in the late 90s and where Columbus SCOTUS is at now. I mean, their entire roster, which has a lot of talented kids on it, is almost entirely comprised of freshmen and sophomores. And so over the next couple of years, I think that they'll, you know, progress even further as well. You know, they've upped their schedule this year. They wrestled down at the Omaha Scout Tournament a few weeks ago as well. And I saw them again at High Plains, and they've got some talent. And, you know, when you look at B3, not a single-rated team out of that district. And so why not, you know, Columbus SCOTUS? They have the most projected qualifiers out of that qualifier. And you know, as far as Hastings goes, you know, they have their guys, but, you know, Brandon Kyle has lost in recent weeks. And we've seen Nolan Locks have a few setbacks this year as well. And so, you know, they're a team that can be around the top 10. There's no doubt about it, but it's competitive in Class A for those final spots in the top 10.
When you're running dynasties that Amherst and Scott and Grand Island are doing right now, everybody wants to find out when that will end, and a lot of people thought maybe Grand Island was due to fall off the top of the heap here the last year, maybe two. But boy, this year, because of a variety of different reasons, transfers, injuries, departures, this is not near the lineup we thought that they would have at the beginning of the year. What do you see in the future for Grand Island, and who is going to be their main challenge in Omaha?
Well, I'll tell you with Grand Island, one thing that you can say about Coach Ed Winkle's team is that they find a way. It seems like every year we talk about Grand Island having, you know, the same things you just mentioned, injuries, departures, et cetera. And they just simply have guys that step in. I can tell you in particular this year, I mean, Jared Fortune, what a story that kid is. 152, a senior, and, you know, he's just one of those kids that caught lightning in a bottle late in his career, and I've seen that happen with other kids, and he's just wrestling the lights out right now. And think about that. He's rated number 4 right now after last week's HAC, you know, championship, and he's legitimate. He'll have a chance to finish and get some of those points that, you know, that they lost with the 170 not being there anymore. And certainly Omaha North is a formidable challenge. Now Grand Island beat them pretty handily in the duel over at the Flatwater in mid-December. But, you know, Omaha North was not full strength at that time, and we all know that a duel is different than the individual state tournament as well. As far as Amherst goes, well, what do you say? I mean, they just keep rolling, and we knew they would have a very good team this year. But again, look at their situation there. They have Clayton Dana step in for the injured Colton Burke, and they hardly lose a step there. And I think they get 12 out of the D3 district out down there at Amherst. And, you know, they may come close to 300 points if you look at what they did last year compared to what they should do this weekend here. I mean, you know, it's not out of the possibility they could get 300.
Last question, Ross, and then we'll let you get back to your day here. Just a little bit on Class C. Producer Jeff is an O'Neill Eagle, and he would love to see O'Neill stay at the top of that podium on a week from Saturday night. But that seems to be a little bit more open. Central City, who won it last year, is rated, but they just don't have the horses this year. They're fairly young. Who's going to be the main competition there?
Well, I've had O'Neill and David City rated 1 and 2 all season long, and there's nothing that makes me think that the outcome will be any different. You know, it's a matter of, you know, O'Neill, who, you know, interesting enough, they're one of the few schools in the state, and they're very aware of it. They've never won a state team title in any sport before, and so they're looking to kind of create their own history. Whereas you have David City, who's, you know, a traditional power. David City has a little more depth than O'Neill does. O'Neill will have to rely on their top wrestlers now. they potentially could put five, you know, maybe six kids in the state finals, depending on the draws, and that's a lot of state tournament points. David City has, you know, some top caliber wrestlers. I think for me, I'll actually see O'Neill for the first time this year up at the B3 district. I think for me, it's a matter of maybe trusting O'Neill's top end point versus David City. David City's depth. I've seen David City, you know, a couple times this year, and I think that, you know, again, I don't always know what I'm going to get from some of the kids that are expected to finish towards the top of the ratings. Whereas with O'Neill, I feel pretty comfortable that their top caliber wrestlers are very good, and they should finish, you know, top three, all of the elite kids that they have.
All right, Ross, we'll see how it pans out this weekend. We'll rehash it again on Sunday as part of our Classic Hits Wrestling Rally, and we always appreciate your time. Enjoy the weekend.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, guys, for having me. We'll talk to you Sunday.
You bet. Ross Halford, HuskerMat.com. Check it out, the number one wrestling high school site on the web here in the state. We will take a break and talk with Amherst coach Tyler Herman right after this.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
When my husband turned 30, I didn't think much of it. I know men start to lose testosterone levels after 30. I just wasn't sure what that meant. Now I do. He gained weight, became moody, depressed, made excuses all the time to not have to do anything physical. It even got to the point where he never wanted to be romantic. A friend of mine told me about ManCore from Complete Nutrition, so I picked up some for my husband. He started using ManCore a little over a month ago. He's becoming himself again. He's lost 10 pounds, got his spark back, and is in much better moods. He's back to being the guy I fell in love with. If the man in your life isn't what he used to be, it could be low testosterone levels. It happens to all men. ManCore is specifically formulated for men over 30. It helped my husband. It can help yours too. ManCore from Complete Nutrition.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Complete Nutrition.
If you're a homeowner who's faithfully made your mortgage payments, you deserve thanks for doing the right thing. And I'd like to tell you about a powerful financial tool that rewards your commitment. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. And the tool that I'm talking about is the Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. HARP is designed to help you lower your mortgage payments. It's for homeowners who are current on their mortgage payments, but due to the housing market, may have little or no equity left in their home. And even if you were unable to get a HARP loan in the past, new guidelines mean that now you may be eligible. More than 2.5 million homeowners have already taken advantage of HARP and are saving an average of $250 a month. If you're one of the millions yet to take advantage, call us today at 800-QUICKEN. To learn more, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That number again is 800-QUICKEN.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Honestly, the first thing I thought was I might be out for a long time if I don't get this checked out, because I heard a pop in my ankle. And so I came here. It's like having a second set of coaches. They want you to get better just like your coaches want you. They push you. It feels really, really good to get over something. It's kind of like winning a football game. It's something that you love the feeling of it, because you're back to 100% and then you're back to playing again.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, with locations to serve you across central Nebraska.
We'll start with sunshine early today, then expect increasing cloud cover this afternoon with a mild high near 48 degrees, and expect partly to mostly cloudy skies tonight with a low of 26. I'm meteorologist Sam Denisty. Right now it's 43.
Daddy Show rolling on to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, heading into your lunch hour. We're glad to have you along with us. A very exciting time of the year with so much postseason action going on. It starts with district wrestling this weekend, and the D3 finals from Amherst will be heard on Classic Hits 98.9 starting at around 2 o'clock. And the head coach of the four-time defending state champions, Tyler Herman, joins us. Coach, good morning. What was for lunch?
Well, haven't eaten lunch yet, Doug, so I'll let you know here in about a half hour.
Okay, all right. Let's see if we can make this last till it's lunchtime then. You know, when I say four-time defending state champions, it it takes me back to last year where we thought for a moment, in fact, for an overnight, that that might not happen. How much does the rally that you guys had last year still play in the way you work this year?
Well, you know, our kids haven't forgot how that feels on Friday night. You know, that van ride back to the hotel after going 2-6 in the finals was, you know, one of the worst things I've experienced as a coach. It was, dead quiet, nothing but silence. And, you know, we've worked our tails off this year. The kids have trained hard so that we don't put ourselves in that situation again. You know, the kids don't want that feeling again. You know, they haven't forgot it. We even posted signs in the wrestling room results of last year's semifinal matches so they don't forget how that feels. And I think that that feeling of losing the heartbreaker in the semis has really motivated these kids and made them hungry.
Some of the same talk is going on across the state as it did last year. How many points? It's not if they're going to win. It's how many points will they score? How many champs will they have? How many points will they get at state? How many points will they get at district? I assume that that's the silver lining, is that they've heard this all before.
Yeah, and you know what? We, as a team, the coaching staff, we don't talk about that kind of stuff. We're more focused on getting better as individuals and taking care of the individual side of things. If we do that, that'll take care of the team score and everything else. But, and we don't get too caught up in that. You know, it's good for everybody else, the fans and the parents and, you know, the media and all that. But we don't talk about any points records or whatever. We're just going to go out there and try and win matches and add them up at the end.
Tyler, a big picture question that I hear from time to time, because you're still going to have a pretty good team here, not just this year and what you've had, but still got some kids coming back, and you guys travel and do some great things. Has there ever been any thought of taking your kids out state or to the Flatwater Fracas or something that normally a Class D school wouldn't do?
Probably not going out of state. You know, we go up to Ainsworth, and that's close enough to South Dakota. But Coach Chad Winkle has talked to us about the Fracas before, and I think if it was a situation where it was the third week in January instead of the third week in December, we'd be more apt to go to that. But my first 6 or 7 years, we never really had full teams. You know, we had 14, 15, 16 guys out, and we didn't fill all 14 weight classes. And we just kind of started doing that the last 3 years. So it's definitely an option. But, you know, with the schedule we wrestle now, we travel quite a bit, and we see a wide variety of teams, whether it's Class B, C, or D, just to make sure our kids are battle-tested. You know, I think that that schedule toughens us up more than anything, and that's what makes us wrestle well at this time of the year.
I'll call them the little guys as we preview the D3 meet that starts Friday afternoon and continues and wraps up Saturday at Amherst. The middle weights, as always, have a lot of guys when you have this many schools. But usually there's some tangles in those lower weights, 6, 13, 20, or the variations in the past year. Not necessarily very deep this year at the D3.
No, at 106 and 13, the numbers are a little bit lower. But like you said, every other weight from 20 up to heavyweight, the numbers are pretty darn good. You know, it's just different on a year-to-year basis. You know, some years, 106, we got 10 kids, and then like this year, we're down to 5. But the other weights, you know, sure make up for it. You got 120 where you got 3 rated kids, number 1, 2, and 3 in the state, and then the kid who's seated 4th is a returning state medalist. You got 160 where you got 6 really, really quality kids. I could see the 3, 4, and 5 seeds in our district, whoever gets through, medaling at the state tournament. So overall, a pretty deep district. We have more returning state tournament points than any other district, right around 290, I believe. We've got 21 rated wrestlers and 14 returning state medalists. So overall, it's as tough as this district has been in quite a while.
Who are some of the other teams? I know there's some. Let's start with some injuries. What do you know as you seeded this already? Who are some major players that just got banged up and can't go for their respective schools?
Oh, I think you have to first of all look at Tyler Kipp from Arapahoe. He's a returning state runner-up last year. Had a shoulder injury right before Christmas, and he's been out ever since then. I believe he had surgery a couple weeks ago. So that's one, you know, kid that was highly ranked that is not going to be there. A couple others that are a little bit dinged up, they're in the brackets right now. We'll know a little more tomorrow as far as whether they're going to go or not. But I'd say he's probably the highest ranked individual that won't be able to compete.
As you take a look at some of the other brackets, that heavyweight looks like it could be good again this year for you.
Oh, I'll tell you what, heavyweight is loaded. You got number 1, 2, and 4 in the ratings with us, and Tanner Hercock from Amherst and Zaleski from Overton wrestled twice this year. The last time they wrestled last week at conference was an overtime match with Zaleski winning. Those two will probably battle head-to-head again in the semifinals, hopefully. And then you got your top-ranked Grant Clausen from SEM. number one seed in the tournament. Hasn't wrestled for about a month because of a shoulder injury, but you know, he's still a pretty darn solid kid, and that's just a tough weight, top to bottom. You know, that's another weight where, you know, you never know. Those three guys could finish 1, 2, 3 in the state. I mean, it's that good of a weight.
Outside of your team, and you touched a little bit on it there at heavyweight, but outside of the Amherst guys, where are some of the other great weight classes with outstanding wrestlers that even you look forward to seeing a match or two of?
Definitely 120, where you got number one, Brian Weegis from Amherst, number two, Bloom from Elm Creek, and number three, Heffley from Eustace Farnham. And like I mentioned earlier, you got Dylan Freese from Southwest, who's not rated at this time, but he's a returning state medalist. So your top four there at 120 are pretty darn solid and all you know, capable of being state medalists. And then 160, like I said, you got Mason Klingelhofer, number one in the state. Wernsman from Rappos, number two. Contreras from Med Valley is number five. And even though he's number five in the state, he's the four seed in the bracket. You got a kid like Asa Kelberg from Southwest, who's the three seed. Tommy Campbell from Wilcox-Hildreth is the five seed. All guys that have been in the state tournament before. And like I said, it wouldn't surprise me one bit if we have four kids from 160 in our district that all medal next week at the state tournament. It's that deep of a weight.
Talking with Tyler Herman, Amherst wrestling coach. Before we let you go, every coach has the goal of a district. What is Tyler Herman's goal for Amherst this weekend?
Our number one goal is to qualify everybody, and that's our goal every single year. We want every kid, all 14 weights, going to the state tournament. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a challenge, that's for darn sure, but that's our ultimate goal. And we want to put kids in the finals. You know, that's the biggest thing you can do. Saturday morning, that semifinal round, win your semifinal match, punch your ticket to the state tournament, and get in the finals. You know, I'll tell you what, as a coach, it's a lot less stressful when we put kids in the finals. When we're wrestling in those heartbreak matches, that just about drives me crazy. But, you know, that's the biggest thing. Win our first couple matches, get in the finals, you know, make sure we're going to be a participant in the state tournament, and then just keep winning from there. You know, winning the district title as a team is obviously our goal, but we're more focused on what we need to do as individuals to achieve that goal.
Action gets underway on Friday with preliminary rounds, as it does for all the other B, C, and D districts as well. And then the competition heats up on Saturday. We'll have the finals on Classic Hits 98.9. So, Tyler, we'll see you on Saturday, and best of luck to the Broncos.
All right, thanks, Doug. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Tyler Herman, head coach of the four-time defending Class D state wrestling champions at Amherst. And, wow, busy show. So let's just slam the door. Let's just move on. Let's just get out of here. We have talked about everything except Husker men's basketball, a win last night. Hastings College women, big win for them. The Hastings men, though, got off to such a great start last night and then shot just 25% of the second half. They fell to Wesleyan. The teams have their home finale of the regular season against Dakota Wesleyan on Saturday. UNK is home tonight against Pittsburgh State. The Hastings Nebraska women will be on the road tonight against Michigan. High school hoops. It is Wood River Minute on Classic Hits 98.9. Hastings High Waverly on 1230 KHAS. Also, Kearney Catholic, they go to Arcadia. Folks, those games are in Arcadia against Arcadia Loop City starting at 5:45. Ravenna's at Adams Central. The St. Cecilia girls will be taking on Sutton. Want to thank everyone that joined us on the program today, starting right off the top of the program with Stephen Bardot of the Big Ten Network, along with Stu Pospisil of Omaha World Herald, All-Stater Alex Baritzko of Cozad, Ross Halford of HuskerMat.com, and Tyler Herman from Amherst. Jim Langan's in for our co-host again tomorrow, and a lot more for a Valentine's Day edition of the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.